Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Cyber Monday. And by the way, if you haven't already done so, head right over to ToddStarnes.com. Check out our digital store. We have some great stuff for you. T-shirts, ball caps, great books. And we're happy to sign, autograph any of that stuff for you. All you have to do is go to ToddStarnes.com, click on the store button, and we have all sorts of great merchandise for the conservatives in your life. Well, look, we have been following the attacks on small business owners across our country, and really not just here in the United States, but also in Canada. Friday on this show, we were talking about the owner of a barbecue joint who was arrested because he reopened his barbecue shop in defiance of local and state leaders. So there are many business owners who are facing a decision. Do you shut down your business for good? Do you defy the government? What do you do? Over in Great Britain, across the big pond, you had a couple of shopkeepers, and they were being threatened. They've been in business 30-some-odd years selling their wares. And now all of a sudden, they're faced with these draconian penalties simply because they want to open their business up. And it makes no sense to me. It's okay to have 5,000 people in a Walmart or Target or Best Buy, but you can't have 30 people inside your local store. It makes no sense whatsoever. So one of our listeners in Lexington, Kentucky, sent me a story about a small coffee shop called by the name of Brewed, B-R-E-W-E-D. What a great name for a coffee shop. Andrew Cooper Ryder is the owner, and he made it clear, you know what? We're not gonna stop indoor dining. And he says he's staying open until he's in handcuffs. And I thought, wow, I like this guy. We got to get him on the show. And he is right now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Andrew, what an honor to have you with us today.
Well, hey, thank you, Tom. It's an honor to be on your show.
All right. Well, I want you to take us through this. So you guys have a coffee shop. When did they tell you you had to shut down?
It would have been Friday, about a week and a half ago. Not just last Friday, but Friday before last at 5 p.m. we had to close.
Did they give you any reason why you had to shut down your coffee house?
Outside of the normal case count rising, you know, I noticed, of course, they don't talk about deaths anymore, but case count instead is what they cite. And, you know, citing case count rising, citing that Fayette County is in the red zone, according to our governor's, he's got his zones, his red, his yellow, his green, and nobody's green. Two counties are yellow. Everybody else is red. And so because we're in the red zone, indoor dining in restaurants is supposed to close in bars, and we are categorized as that, and so we were told we had to close to indoor dining.
Now, I think it's important here to point out that many restaurants around the country have actually been asking their local health departments for the evidence, for the data to back up their claims that restaurants are the cause of the COVID-19 numbers. Have you heard of any of your customers coming in and saying, hey, I got the China virus because I got a cup of coffee here?
Well, no, of course not. And many times, if you go onto the CDC site, the study that they're using is a very small sample size. They went to 11 clinics, and they got around 150 people who had tested positive versus a control group of 150 people who tested negative. And they basically went through and asked them some questions about where they'd been, what they'd done. And they had found that people who tested positive were twice as likely to have been to restaurants or people who tested negative. So based upon this 300-person study, they decided restaurants were the scourge of the earth as far as spreading COVID goes. Now, I only have a high school diploma. I did take AP Problem Stats, though, and I know that correlation doesn't exactly mean causation. And when you look at those stats across the board, the individuals who had tested positive for the virus, in general, were out and about more than the people who had it, including almost the majority of the group who had tested positive going to the grocery store within the last 2 weeks, something that is not closed. And quite frankly, you know, people who are just out more in general, you're more likely to go out to eat. That's one of the things you do. If you leave the house and you go out, you normally include dinner plans in there. And so that has caused this attack on restaurants, which, you know, quite frankly, based upon are already in place prior to coronavirus sanitation techniques and things like that in place, you would think you would be more concerned about the stores and shops that have had to actually adjust a lot. In fact, you know, for us restaurants, the only adjustments with coronavirus we've had to make to our normal sanitation processes is wearing masks and wearing gloves when we're not preparing food. That's it. Everything else is sanitizing and everything else is required by the CDC. We already were doing before coronavirus because we care about producing food that is safe for consumption.
Now, it's my understanding, according to some of the reporting out there, that the Kentucky Alcohol Beverage Control pulled your license. They issued an emergency license suspension for your coffee shop. Tell us what's happening now.
So, yeah, so the first day a health department official came out, you know, and told us we had to close and to indoor dining. And I disagreed, first off, with their categorization of us indoor dining. We have a big bay door. Essentially, you know, if you were to look at our coffee shop, it is a one could call it a redone garage almost. And so we have this garage bay door that was open. And they're allowing outdoor dining in tents. And so I had that door open and I said that, you know, I looked up the definition of a heated patio. It was a concrete pad with an overhead covering that was heated. And I felt we fell into that category because my floors are polished concrete. And the woman disagreed and I refused to close. And so that day, in quick succession, they issued about three warnings real quick, like 30 minutes apart. And then they yanked my food handler's permit and my ability to serve food out of that location. And with them pulling that, then the ABC pulled our ability to sell alcohol under a law that states if a facility is serving food without a food license, then they can't have a alcohol license either.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Andrew Cooper Ryder, he is the owner of Brewed, which is a specialty coffee and beer drinkery in Lexington, Kentucky. Andrew, up to this point, when the China virus rules and regulations started coming down, were you that politically active, or has this really kind of sparked you to get plugged into what's going on?
I was not that politically active when it first came down. About 3-4 months ago, I joined the Libertarian Party, because in my state, our Republican representatives, I was discouraged by the amount they weren't doing. And so I joined the Libertarian Party about 3-4 months ago and worked on some campaigns and things like that. But to say I was politically involved in the sense more than your average citizen, obviously going to monthly meetings, fulfilling an officer role within my district, but I wasn't going and doing speeches and interviews and things like that, like I am now, which I've been thrust into.
So as it stands now, is the coffee house open? What kind of things are y'all allowed to sell?
Yeah, I mean, technically we're not allowed to be open or selling anything, but right now, yes, we are open. You can go down there, get a cup of coffee right now. There's a line of people stretching to our door, waiting to get their cups of coffee right now as we speak. And, you know, our country has a long history of civil disobedience and protest, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, quite frankly, we're demanding more of our elected leaders. This hammer of lockdowns to solve problems is a sign of a failed leader who has no ability to create buy-in, no ability to creatively problem solve. And that's what needs to happen.
Well, again, elections have consequences, Andrew. We say that time and time again. And this is a great example of that. But beyond that, we need to get a handle on these local health departments and the authority they have been given to crack down and shut all of us down.
Well, certainly. I mean, in the state, there is three other restaurants that are openly well known that they are serving food still. after their food license had been pulled, and the health department has not sued any of them. They are still operating without their food license and just kind of sitting there at the health department saying basically, oh, we pulled it. We're not doing anything else. But for some reason, my coffee shop in Lexington deserves to be sued. And here in 45 minutes, I actually have a hearing with in front of a judge for an emergency injunction for the health department to get an emergency order for us to close that the police will enforce, because the police will not enforce the mandates because they do not fall under Kentucky revised statute of the laws that they enforce. So they're trying to get a court order so the police will come shut me down. And that happens here in 45 minutes. And they haven't done that with anybody else yet. And for some reason, they decided my coffee shop was where they need to make their stand.
It's just unacceptable. And Andrew, I want you to keep us updated on what happens this afternoon. Did you ever imagine, final question here, did you ever imagine as a small business owner in America that you would be faced with the possibility of going to jail just for trying to make a living?
I never thought going to jail for making a cup of coffee would be a thing. That blows my mind. That's a possibility. Tuesday morning, before all this started, I woke up with the plans to binge watch Prime that day behind my counter at the coffee shop, serving the customers that came in. And, you know, here I am about to be sued by a health department because they didn't want me to have the seven people in my 2,000 square foot dining room that were drinking coffee that day in there doing so. And no, I mean, this doesn't make, this isn't America to me. An individual who had visited the shop from Cuba, he, when he was 18, was jailed 3 times for making sandwiches. And he is very concerned with what he's seeing here in America.
As well, we should all be. Andrew, our time has run away from us here, but we're going to be standing alongside of you. So let us know what our audience can do to help. We're going to post a link to your coffee shop. And it looks like you've got all sorts of great stuff. That bratwurst that you got posted looks delicious, by the way. But hopefully we're going to get you some more customers in that long line.
Certainly. I hope so. And you know, visit our Facebook page, too. We have a online shop where you can buy whole beans. We just got up yesterday. I'm not very, like, savvy. A friend of ours really has stepped up and helped us up in getting some of that up there. So, you know, you can buy your whole bean coffees, too, if you can't come visit us and you just want a taste of freedom in the morning. Feel free to purchase a bag of beans there.
All right. Andrew Cooper Ryder, the owner of Brewed Coffee House and Beer Drinkery there in Lexington, Kentucky. Andrew, God bless you.
Thank you, sir. And God bless you, too. Have a great day.
All right. Folks, did you ever imagine that we would be at this juncture in American history? You know, this guy, and I didn't know his politics until he just shared it with us, and he said he really wasn't all that politically active. He was just trying to, you know, start a business, grow a business, and it looks like a great business, by the way. Brewed, it's brewedco.com is the website, and we're going to post a link to it on the live show blog. And you might be, if you love coffee, you might want to go ahead and try to get yourself a, you know, get some of these coffee beans and help this guy out. And we can only hope and pray that he's not thrown in jail, but clearly he is ready to go if need be. This is a troubling time in America, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868. What do you do if you're a business owner? Do you do what Andrew did over here at the Brewed Coffee Company? Or do you bow down and do you capitulate to the mob? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Wow, there are literally hundreds of people. Just got a message from my good friend Michelle Malkin. Hundreds of people outside the hearing in Arizona where they're talking about election integrity. And folks, I got to tell you, and we're going to get into more of this with our good friends Diamond and Silk and Congressman Doug Collins. But folks, we're going to have to force our elected leaders to do the right thing. And if you are in one of those battleground states, and Rand Paul has some new data, we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But if you're in one of those battleground states, you need to call your elected state leaders and tell them not to certify that vote. All right, let's get to the phones here. Mark, North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, Mark. What's going on?
How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Listening to that last caller about the coffee shop and feel for him. I'm actually, I had just told the screener, I'm actually trying to open a restaurant and bar. But I called for the mask situation. I told the screener, it's a long story, I won't get into it, but I have a medical exemption. And I've been, it seems everybody's wearing a mask around here. They ask about them when you go in, like say to Sam's. They don't force me. I have a particular look, so they don't give me too much flack when I say I can't wear one. But I have been kicked out of a restaurant, and I also had one restaurant try to take my temperature, which I found
was, is that right?
Disturbing for me.
It ought to be disturbing, Mark. And you know, I remember a couple of weeks ago, you know, someone wanted to, you know, you had to hand over your driver's license to get on the information. And I said, you know what, it's not worth the fettuccine Alfredo to do that. Thank you. I'll just go home and make a sandwich.
Exactly. I mean, this is not my America. This is not the America that I've grown up with freedoms. And when did it become my responsibility to worry about somebody else's health? Where did that come from? If you're concerned about getting sick, if people are concerned about getting sick, they need to isolate. They need to stay home. They need to follow all the precautions. Why do I have to? That's not my responsibility.
By the way, and to that point, Mark, I was on a flight, about a month and a half, 2 months ago. So I basically spent all day in the airport. It was one of these, you know, got a layover in Atlanta, and it was a big hassle. But they made you wear the face mask. You had to wear that thing as soon as you got into the airport. And I'm telling you, Mark, for me personally, the concern I had was when I got back home after that, I developed a cough. And I think, honest to goodness, I believe it was because of that face mask. I've got big problems.
I believe it.
Big problems.
And I can't fly right now. It's a shame. I love to travel, but I can't. I can't wear a mask. I actually have PTSD and get triggered around anything covering up my mouth.
Well, there's no need for you to travel, in all honesty. I mean, they have pretty much, the Democrats and these health departments have pretty much ruined our country. And until we get a handle on that, until citizens are willing to rise up and put a stop to it, it's not, you know, that's the way it's going to be. Mark, got to run. Appreciate the telephone call. All right, folks, Diamond and Silk coming up. Are you still on board the Trump train? Are you willing to see this through to the very end? Are you still hopeful that President Trump is going to be reelected once all of the legal votes are counted? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Live show blog up and running. Great stories there. Check out the link to Dinstall's chocolate. Oh, that's delicious. ToddStearns.com. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. A little bit of breaking news coming from Arizona, where a hearing is underway right now. The state legislature holding a hearing with members of President Trump's legal team. While that was going on, Arizona officially certified the 2020 presidential election for Joe Biden. And among those in attendance for the certification were Arizona's Republican governor, the attorney general, and the chief justice. So there you go. The court cases continue. And as I said, folks, at this point, we just have to believe the Trump campaign, the Trump legal team, have the evidence they need. There's no doubt it happened, but the question is whether or not they have the evidence. And if they do, the election results get overturned. It's that simple. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Great friends of this program, great friends of our president, Diamond and Silk. Ladies, good to have you back with us today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Well, you know, it all comes down to the state of Georgia. I mean, that's, you know, let's get down to brass tacks here, ladies. Whatever happens in Georgia will decide the fate of this country.
Well, really, absolutely. That's why it's very important that you get out and you make sure that you vote for the two Republicans that's running in this toss-up or whatever they want to call it. But I want people to also understand, you know, I hear you say evidence. Do they have enough evidence? Affidavits are evidence. If they don't think that that's enough evidence, people viewing, witnessing what they've seen, then make sure, bring in the ballots. Bring in the hundreds of millions of ballots that's been tampered with, that's been filled or completed fraudulently, that's been done, and have dead people information on it. Bring in those ballots so that you can see the proof. The proof is there, but you have some that don't want to see the proof. And anybody that certified an election knowing that there could be the possibility of any kind of fraud, made them complicit to what's going on.
I would
advise everybody in your audience, everybody that's under the sound of our voice, to go read the executive order that was put in on September the 12th, 2018.
That's right.
Yeah, we're under a national emergency when it comes to our elections. So I think there's something bigger happening here,
yep.
And I'm just going to just wait for it. I really am. It's not over until God says it's over.
That's right. And if it's found that anybody took and certified these elections and they knowingly know of the fraud that was going on, I believe it's time to prosecute these individuals to the fullest extent of the law. Somebody needs to be held responsible here for this. It looks like a deliberate coup that's trying to happen and take place here. Not only are they trying to take over the presidency, they're trying to take over America, trying to take over Americans' lives, take over our Constitution, our constitutional right to civil liberties, our constitutional right to our freedom.
Our constitutional right to a free and fair election.
Come on.
And that's why a lot of this stuff has to go to the Supreme Court. No other law supersedes our constitutional laws.
That's right.
When you have people making backdoor deals, not going through the legislators to make laws, but making it with the Secretary of State, I don't see how any of this stuff is going to stand.
That's right.
Well, and again, that's the key here is getting to the Supreme Court. Senator Rand Paul shared some information yesterday. We have it up on our website, talking about these data dumps that happened in four key battleground states. And it was four states, four data dumps on election night, late night, 1:30 in the morning to 6:30 in the morning. And again, you look at this kind of information and you say, how in the world can that be possible? And it cannot, ladies. This is what we're calling this voter fraud. That's what that is.
Absolutely. When we did our show this past weekend, we pointed out voter fraud and what it was. What it is, you all. It's not irregularities. It's not abnormalities.
It's not a glitch.
This is fraud at the highest level, so let's call it the way that we see it.
That's right.
So it's time for people to start opening their eyes and start realizing. Let me tell you something. President Trump got 11 million more people than he got in 2016, and he didn't win this. You took all of the down seats, all of the Congress seats that was up, the toss-up seats. Republicans got that, but President Trump didn't get the presidency. You all want us to believe that a man who campaigned from his basement, when he did an event, he did it with six people in six circles, got 80 million people to come vote for him, and most of those was in ballots. Let's take a look at the ballots. And why is it that it was only in battleground cities that this man got the majority of the black vote? But the same battleground cities where they was having what they called the irregularities, the abnormalities, it was straight fraud.
That's right. Where
they did the dumps at.
That's right. And let's talk about this foreign entity, this foreign interference into our election. Anytime you have Germany and Sydney counting our votes, tabulating our votes, how are those machines even hooked up to the internet? It's not supposed to be hooked up to the internet. So if you got these four entities counting our votes, That's foreign interference into our election.
Right. And I want people to understand a lot is at stake. I understand that people are so upset. They're upset with Democrats. They're upset Republicans, the deep state, the people that President Trump campaigned for, and they're not on President Trump's side now. I understand it. But right now, keeping the Senate is very important.
Very.
So make sure you get out and you vote.
And you know, ladies, that from a very practical standpoint, let's just take them at face value. The Democrats are saying that more Democrats voted for Joe Biden than Barack Obama, the first black president in American history.
Yeah, that's a lie. Let me tell you something.
But hold on a second. If we take him at face value, that means that the Democrat Party really is racist, if that's true.
That's right. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. But really, when you look at it, you all, it's baloney. Let me tell you something now. There was enthusiasm around Barack Hussein Obama. Let us not deny that. It was great enthusiasm. He had black people, white people, all people come out and vote for him. But there was no enthusiasm around Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. Absolutely none.
Yeah.
He got out and he said on a video, he put together the most voter fraud operation that Obama used, I believe, back in 2012. You know, so this came out of his mouth, you all. We're not crazy here. And don't make us like we're crazy. We're not. I want a fair and free election.
That's right.
Joe Biden won this fair and square, I'll tell you he did.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Because anytime you stop the vote count, and then you got to do this mass ballot dump, where did these ballots come from? And then it's only got his name circled and penciled in. Something is not
And one more thing. You had more Democrats to switch their party from Democrats to Republicans just to vote in this particular election. I don't know what the number or the percentage was of Republicans switching to vote to Democrats. Mm-hmm. You didn't have that.
Not only that, Jim Crow Joe Biden, you mean 19 bellwether cities and counties or cities, and he didn't win but one? And President Trump won the rest of them. Most of the time, when you win those bellwethers, that means you're going to win the presidency.
That's
when you
right.
take
Good
Florida
point.
And Ohio, everything else falls into place. But all of a sudden, it didn't.
Yeah.
And 80 million people voted, and more black people voted for Jim Crow Joe Biden than Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
And y'all want us to go along with that. Yeah. That will be a lie.
And how is this man going to carry everybody across the finish line? But then get to the finish line and
not himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Ladies, real quick before we let you go, it is Cyber Monday, and y'all have got so much stuff on your store over at diamondandsilk.com.
Yeah.
A lot of people doing the Christmas shopping, so what would you recommend they go and get?
Oh, get one of our bobbleheads. And make sure you pick up our book, DiamondandSilkBook.com. Go there and get the book, Uprising, Who the Hell Said You Can't Ditch and Switch? The Awakening of Diamond and Silk. There is an uprising undercoverly going on, because I'd be doggone if, Todd, if we're going to let these people think they're going to steal this and steal our country and take away our constitutional right. We don't want to be living like we slaves. We want to be brave and stand up to this tyranny.
So go to DiamondandSilkStore.com. That's DiamondandSilkStore.com.
I got to say, ladies, I'm looking at the bobbleheads. I mean, y'all are very attractive bobbleheads. Very nice.
Thank you, Todd.
A great stocking stuffer, ladies and gentlemen. DiamondandSilk.com. Great stuff over there. Ladies, thanks as always, and hang in there. Let's see this through to the end.
Thank you.
All right. Great ladies there. They really do have a bobblehead, though, and all sorts of great stuff. Check that out, DiamondandSilk.com. When we come back, I want to talk to Steve in Rhode Island. He has a fascinating story of something that just happened to him over the weekend to illustrate these insane mask mandates. 844-747-8868. Are you still standing with our president, folks? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Folks, we're cooking with gas today. A lot going on. By the way, have you noticed most of the cable television networks are not covering the Arizona hearing, including Fox News Channel? And over the weekend, a nasty little attack on the president coming from Fox News anchor Eric Shawn, who said the president can't wrap his head around the idea that he lost. Well, Eric Shawn, they're still counting the votes, sir. So try to stick to the fair and balanced as opposed to jumping into the opinion world. All right, let's get to the phones here. Steve in Rhode Island. Steve, I understand you you went hunting off of the Maine, the state of Maine. What's going on over in that neck of the woods?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I went up there, and we got up there on a Saturday, and got my gun ready, went to go deer hunting on Sunday. And my buddy said, hey, we can't hunt on Sundays up here. I'm like, what? I go, with all the COVID restrictions, you know, there's an executive order for you that the governor up in Maine, Janet Mills, who likes to crush people and businesses, she could have had an executive order to allow hunting on Sunday, even though it's unconstitutional, because it's an old blue law that prevents you from hunting on Sundays, which is based on religion. And the governor has restricted religious outfits and churches, and they got the casinos open, but you can't hunt on Sunday. Like, what the hell's going on up there? You know, she can't think out of the box. What do you think about that?
That's the craziest thing I've heard. Now, I'm familiar with the old blue laws. A lot of those are in effect in the southern states. If you've got more than one Baptist church in your county, it's you're going to be hard pressed to be able to get booze in your community. So I understand that.
You can get booze on Sundays up in Maine.
Must not have any Baptist churches up there. Yeah,
no,
Steve, that's the craziest thing I've heard.
Guess what? When you go hunting, you're all by yourself. You go in the woods. You're outdoors. You got like zero chance of getting COVID-19, but they won't let you do it. Like, what's wrong with these people?
Steve, I think this is all about control. That's what this is about. And unfortunately, our fellow citizens are demonstrating that we are willing to be controlled and we are willing to sacrifice our civil liberties. I don't get it. It's a shocking thing for me. But you know what? I have to hope and pray that there are still enough freedom-loving patriots that we can put a stop to this nonsense.
Yeah, that's what I said. I got my gun. I went out hunting. I don't care. What are you going to do, put me in jail?
Good for you. What were you hunting, by the way, Steve?
Oh, up north of Bangor. That's right. I heard you on the radio during the week when we're coming out for lunch. I said, I got to call this guy when I get back to my state.
Hey, I'm glad you did. You know, well, look, we love all of our listeners up in the state of Maine and Rhode Island. How was hunting? Did you were you able to bag anything?
Yeah, we got a 4-point. It wasn't too big, but it was a decent deer.
Is that right? Well, fantastic. Well, congratulations, Steve. And look, don't be a stranger. You sound like good people to us. Give us a call back one of these days.
Hey, see you later. Thank you.
All right, good guy there, Steve from Rhode Island. Oh, where's Avery? There's an interesting story, Avery, from the Atlanta newspapers. And I know you're a big Spider-Man fan.
Sure, I guess. I've watched a couple of movies. I mean, not necessarily too huge. It's not like I have a suit or anything like that from the movies.
But okay, no. Okay, let's be honest here. You've been on photo shoots dressed as Spider-Man, so I think you're a diehard.
You're probably wearing a Spider-Man suit right now, Avery. Don't lie.
I really wish I was, but I can honestly say I'm not.
So Spider-Man, which I did not realize, was filming the next movie in Atlanta, and they're using a couple of schools in the Atlanta area two local schools to film the show, because I guess what, Spider-Man is still in high school, is that right?
Yes. At this point in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Peter Parker is still in high school.
I see. So anyway, the story is that the movie company, Marvel, Sony Pictures, using these schools to film the movie. Now, the problem here is that these public schools are actually closed for high school students. So the students who are supposed to be in the school are not able to go to the school because of the China virus. Yet at the same time, the school district is allowing, I would suspect, maybe a couple of hundred people to be inside this same building to film the movie.
Yeah, and it's just, it seems really backward, doesn't it? I mean, I understand. I mean, I love these films. I think they're absolutely fantastic. Their teams do just knock it out of the park every single time. But when it comes to their filming process, you know, they can be a little bit stingy, like in this case right here. They are not allowing, or they're going, like you said, several hundreds of people are in this crammed high school just because that's how every high school is. I don't care what anybody says. You can find anywhere in a high school that's just, you can't maintain social distance at all times. And they're, you know, shooting a movie. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to you're not even allowing the students who their tax money goes to those schools and funding those schools, and you're not allowing them to come. That's just really backwards to me.
Well, it makes no sense. And again, it's this double standard. I mean, if it's not safe enough for the students, it can't be safe enough for Spider-Man.
Exactly. Yeah. And because, you know, they're supposed to be filming in a time where, you know, COVID-19 doesn't exist. And I'm all for that. You know, you don't want to see real life in your entertainment. That's, you know, I'm a big pusher for that. You know, and entertainment's just a place where you're supposed to be able to go to forget about the real world and just watch something fun, you know. But in reality, when they're filming, COVID-19 is a very real thing. And I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, you have a 99% recovery rate. So, I mean, there's not necessarily anything to be super, super worried about there. But I mean, and of course, take care of yourself. But like, they're shooting scenes where they're not 6 feet apart and they're not wearing masks. So again, this is, we just continue to see Hollywood continue to be more and more hypocritical.
Avery, I was watching NCIS New Orleans. I love, love that series. But this season, it's unwatchable. It's the whole China virus thing, and it's consuming all of the brand new seasons of all of my favorite shows. And it, you know, it's not about entertainment anymore. It's about shoving this agenda down your throats, whether it's Black Lives Matter or where it's, you know, wearing the masks because everybody's dying. It was so disgusting. I had to turn it off.
Yeah, I've even spoken to a couple of people who are big, again, they're big advocates for wearing the mask, like, at all times, like, when it's possible and stuff like that. But even they were saying, like, when it comes to entertainment, I don't want to see that. I just want to watch a TV show. I just want to watch a movie. I just want to escape from the reality of this, we have to wear a mask at all times or we're going
to
die.
You know what? We're living this. We don't need to see it on the TV, you know, exactly. When we're supposed to be. The TV, entertainment, prime time, it's supposed to be about escaping from reality. And instead, they're turning it into some sort of a propaganda. It's like a Black Lives Matter protest right in your living room. I mean, that's just obscene. All right. I know, folks, you got to read Avery's story on this. We're going to have it up on the website just momentarily. Spider-Man can go to school in Atlanta, but actual students cannot. It's unbelievable. All right, we got to take a break here. We're going to pay some bills. Also a chance for you to go check out Cyber Monday over at toddstearns.com. We have some great stuff. You got to get yourself a Blessed Not Bitter coffee mug. I actually have one, and it's pretty awesome. toddstearns.com. Our telephone number, by the way, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.